Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
Well, I had 10 hours in Paris, and it was cool. I had it planned out, so it wasn't like a rushed 10 hours. But I landed a little bit before 7 a.m. I had to get on another plane a little bit before 5 p.m., so I had 10 hours. And I thought, you know, I could go see the Eiffel Tower, which would have been cool. It'd be the first time I'd ever seen that. I could see catch a football game at the Notre Dame Cathedral. It's kind of a joke. I could see the Champs-Élysées. I could see the Arc du Triomphe. Really, I just wanted to say those words. I knew, though, as I planned this little layover, I wanted to see the Mona Lisa. So as soon as I landed, there was a little bit of a rush in my spirit. I wanted to make sure everything was taken care of, so I checked on my luggage and all that. And I hopped in a cab, and I told the cabbie that I wanted to go to the Louvre. So I remember looking out the window, kind of sticking my head out the window most of the trip, because Paris is so distinctive if you've ever been there. It is these just massive square buildings, and these buildings are what marks the blocks, and it's just beautiful. It's gorgeous. So we get to the Louvre, never seen that before, and I could see this long line coming out. There was a lot of security, and you had to buy your ticket and all that stuff, and it wasn't even open when I got there. So I waited in line, I got my little map, you know, and I'm looking for, you know, where's the Mona Lisa, Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm really excited to see this whole thing. So Titanic, guy's amazing. So I'm making my way through, it's on the first floor, and there's a bunch of twists and turns, and I didn't know this was the room. I took a wrong turn or something, but I saw this huge white wall, huge at the end of this corridor, and there's 15 or 20 people huddled around this white wall, so I figured that must be something, you know, but I didn't think it was the Mona Lisa. So I take a few steps towards it, and I could see kind of above their shoulders and kind of through the people, there she was, you know? Da Vinci's Mona Lisa. So I stood behind a couple of people. I was two or three rows back, and the tour guide was speaking a language I didn't know. So they finished, and they kind of slowly walked to the side, and I took a couple of more steps forward. I don't know if there were other people in the room at that point, but I was pretty mesmerized. You know, it's just a beautiful portrait, if you've ever gotten a chance to see it. I'd seen it my whole life. You know, you see it in school, and so art appreciation, Harper College, that's where I learned about it. It's small. It's like maybe that tall, maybe that wide. It's not a very big painting. But now I'm standing face to face with a masterpiece. I'm seeing the eyes, I see the smile, you know, that knowing smile. There's a river, like a rushing, cascading river behind her that symbolizes the passage of time. A masterpiece. Leonardo da Vinci painted this, and I'm standing so close to it. Masterpiece. Look what the Bible says about us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible calls us God's masterpiece. You, specifically, me, specifically. We are the height of his creation, like the zenith of his masterpiece, the zenith of his creation. And basically, you're a work of art, and so am I. We are, we have a purpose, we have a destiny in our lives. You are enough. So often, growing up, and so often, we hardly ever hear those kinds of words. We have what it takes. I'm constantly saying that to my sons and my daughter. You're all right. You're good. Now, for some of us, we don't feel, you know, sometimes we might feel like a masterpiece, but for the most part, we feel like we're a work in progress. A pastor friend of mine says this. He says, God never wastes anything. He wouldn't give you the abilities, the interests, the gifts, the personality, the life experiences that he's given you unless he intended to use them for his glory. By identifying and understanding these factors, you can discover God's will for your life. It's new information for a lot of us. He goes on to say, you are a custom-designed, one-of-a-kind, original masterpiece. This is the last part of this Dream to Destiny series. This is part 7. Verve never does 7-part series. This is a long one about the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. Not Joseph and Mary like Christmas, but Joseph in the Old Testament. If you're new, some of you are here for the first time, you haven't been a part of this series, it has been awesome. Because there's all these twists and turns in this Joseph guy's life, and we can resonate with these twists and turns. Like, we can learn about our own life through his life, to refresh your memory. Growing up, Joseph's brothers resented him. There's like 10 brothers, and they didn't like Joseph, because Joseph had a dream, and he told the brothers that in this dream, all the brothers would bow down to him. You know, they would like have their face in the dirt and they would bow down to him. So they didn't like that. So they sold him into slavery. How great would that be to sell your younger sibling into slavery? So he's taken to Egypt. He works as a slave. He's a prisoner in a dungeon. He gets put away for this crime that he didn't commit because of Potiphar's cougar wife, you know, if you remember her. For 13 years, until he's around 39 or 40, he's in jail. And then he gets put into a position of leadership through a series of events, because that's how Joseph was. He just sort of rose to positions of leadership all throughout his history. He becomes Pharaoh's go-to guy, and he becomes the administrator of Egypt. He sees Egypt through this awesome time of plenty, and then where we pick up the story, there's 2 years they're in a famine. And it's horrible. And then, as we saw last week, Joseph's story takes this dramatic, crazy, awesome turn. Joseph, the go-to guy, he is Pharaoh's guy, is standing in this place of leadership, this place where people would be in awe of him. He's making all kinds, calling all kinds of shots and so. And then he sees his brothers. All 10 of them are in front of him. And out of respect for him, they are bowed down. It is dramatic when this happens. It's crazy. The dreams are coming true. Remember the dream that he had where his brothers would bow down? Well, those dreams are coming true. And there's a moment when Joseph realizes it. Check out Genesis chapter 42. This is the moment. He remembers the dreams that he had about these brothers many years ago. Now, as the brothers are bowing down to him, they don't know who he is. They just know that he's got this huge position of leadership. But Joseph knows. He sees them. He knows exactly who they are. And in that moment, he could have this arms outstretched triumph. I told you so, you weasels. When you sold me into slavery, I told you this was going to happen. Or he could just have the grief. If you've ever had family trouble, you know that any time that there's family trouble, there's just this like grief of lost time. Even if you're mad at the person, or the person in your family is mad at you, you just grieve over it. So he could have done that. Or he could have rained down revenge on his brothers. But he doesn't do any of those things. Instead, he just watches. And he feels the drama. He feels this moment of realization. And then he feels a moment of revelation. You know the word revelation? It's kind of a Bible word. If you're new to church, you wouldn't know what this means, but it's an awesome word. Here's what it means. It means the process by which God reveals himself. The process by which God reveals himself and his will to human beings. That's God's revelation. And so God is revealing himself to Joseph. He's saying to Joseph, listen, I have been working behind the scenes, man. I've been twisting and turning the story of your life, your relationships. I have put you in places of honor. Dude, you were in jail, and I have turned the tables. I've been working, God says. And he says that to you and I. He says, listen, I've been working on you. I've been working in the twists and turns. Some of us show up today, and there's like huge stress, or there's like pain, frustrations that we're feeling. Some of us show up today, we're kind of loose. Things are going good. God has been working in all of our lives behind the scenes, and he's been working in Joseph's life. And what he wants to do is he wants to uncover, reveal to Joseph his purpose. He wants him to achieve his destiny. He wants him to get to a spot where he is fully in God's will. He's fully in the will of God, and that is an awesome thing. So in this session, we're going to talk about what it means for normal, regular people in 2019 to step into our destiny, you know, to step into our purpose, to actually feel the revelation of God and get to know. And so when I have these kinds of conversations, if we were having coffee together, if we were having lunch together, one of the first questions that I'd ask you if we were hanging out is I'd say, what are your spiritual gifts? I'd wonder if you understand how you've been wired by God. We're going to talk about a thing called shape. And I would actually talk you through S-H-A-P-E, that acronym. Throw it up there on the screen, you guys. This is a way for people to understand what they were made for, what their purpose is. You see it's an acrostic there, S-H-A-P-E, and it just simply stands for your spiritual gifts. What are those? We're going to talk about that today. Your heart, your abilities, your talents, your personality, and your experiences. And here's the contention. God uses all these parts of you, the way that he's created you, the way that he's made you. Psalm 139 says, we are wonderfully complex. We're unique. We are made in his image and for him. Our purpose is to serve God by serving other people. If you're a Christ follower, that's what you were made for. And we all have a shape. Now, as you think about this, I want you to just, in a patient way, sit back and relax a little bit. So often we talk about achieve your destiny, you know, dreams to destiny. It's hypey. You know, there's a little bit of hype to it. There's going to be no hype in this message. What we've been talking about for these 7 weeks is what are the real barriers in our lives? We've talked about discouragement, talked about bitterness, talked about dysfunction, talked about all these different, even success or temptation, those kinds of things. Well, today we're going to talk about what's your shape? And in a patient way, realizing that God is working behind the scenes in all of your life, in every crack, every crevice, to form your purpose, to form your destiny for you and I to step into it. Make sense? So, let's jump into spiritual gifts. First, some of you are like, what is a spiritual gift? What are you talking about, man? Well, this is from the Bible. And it's not like Christmas gifts. It's not like birthday gifts. And you're like, oh, that'd be sweet. More gifts, right? No. A spiritual gift is a set of, well, let me show you. Spiritual gift is a set of special abilities that God has given to each one of us. A set of special abilities. What are those? That God has given you to, come back. There you go. That God has given you to share his love and to serve others. That's what a spiritual gift is. Now, the Bible talks about spiritual gifts. In the New Testament, there's four different passages. And each one of the passages comes at spiritual gifts from a different angle. This is Romans chapter 12. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. The New Testament talks about the body of Christ being the church. We are a part of the church. And all of us being a part of the church have a different function in the community, in the kingdom of God. Scriptures go on. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we belong to each other. It's awesome. And then see this phrase, in his grace? That is a great phrase. What that means is God doesn't need us to do his redeeming work on the planet. But the Bible says that in his grace, because he's so awesome, he wants to partner with us. He wants to use us. He wants to give us a position, of honor where we can use these spiritual gifts that he himself has given us to build the kingdom. So in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. It's awesome. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, well, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve him. See, he's making a little list here. And those other four passages, they have lists too of spiritual gifts. The reason that there's all these different spiritual gifts, I think what God wants us to know is there's a whole myriad of ways that God can use us. There is diversity in the kingdom. So if your gift is serving others, serve. If you're a teacher, teach well. It goes on. If your gift is to encourage, well, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you the gift of leadership, well, then lead with diligence. Take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. That's what spiritual gifts are. Now, spiritual gifts are not weird. Like, you're not going to come up, when you finally find out what spiritual gifts you have, and it's possible to find out, it's not hard. It's not going to be some weird thing. It's going to be practical ways that God wants to use you to serve others. So there's spiritual gifts like the list that you just said, we just saw, one of those lists in the Bible: leadership, mercy, hospitality, teaching, administration. The spiritual gifts, okay? They're not weird. They're things that God gives us, these special abilities. Now, spiritual gifts are not the same as talents or abilities. Talents or abilities are things that you have a natural bend towards, and then throughout your life, you get better at them, like photography, or some of you are really good salespeople, or some of you are really good managers. Those are talents or abilities. Those are not spiritual gifts. Some people think, I've heard this said a bunch of times, okay, so a spiritual gift, I am like an extrovert, so I'm really good with people, so that's my spiritual gift. I'm good with people. No, that's your personality. That's not a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are these gifts that have been given to you, endowed to you by God on a spiritual level. Let me explain to you. So last week, we're in Next Step, and the session last week was called Discovering Your Purpose. So we spend an hour talking about what are spiritual gifts. How does God endow us with these? How does God use these spiritual gifts in our lives? There's actually a little assessment that you can take, and it will help you. It'll put some names to some spiritual gifts that you might have. It's a 20-minute thing, so it's not the be-all, end-all. It's not like, oh, those are your spiritual gifts. No, it's a shot at figuring out what your spiritual gifts are. So you got to picture Next Step. Next Step room is right across the hallway there. There's a bunch of couches and stuff. So the room was full last week. It was super fun. A couple married couples, a bunch of single people. And there was a kid in there, a 14-year-old boy who's been in Next Step for a little while. I love this kid. And he goes, I took the assessment. And so I said, okay, well, what did you find out? And he said, well, there's a map that comes with it. He said, well, I've got, you know, some gifts are pretty high and so, but my highest one was mercy. And it got really quiet in the room. And then I said, okay, well, what's mercy? And he said, well, the little book, the little thing said that mercy is when you can sort of sympathize with other people who are experiencing, you know, pain. So I don't have that gift. So I start to think, okay, I'm going to talk about this a little bit with these guys, but I'm going to take another step with this young guy, this 14-year-old kid. I said, tell us about it. Like, do you think you have the gift of mercy? Here's what he says. He says, this is a quote. He says, yeah, like, there'll be groups of people that I'll go in, and I can just sort of feel when somebody's not doing so good, or when somebody's hurting, when somebody's hurting. And everybody in the room went, wow. And we all looked at this kid. Imagine the power of that. This kid's 14. And he's coming to grips. He's understanding. He's already said yes to God. He's already opened up his life to who God is. And God has come to live inside of him. The Bible says that when a person says yes to God, they say, God, I want you to be my friend. I want you to be my forgiver. And I want you to be my leader. So that leadership, as that's navigated, the Bible says that Jesus is actually formed in a person's heart. Like, you begin to live like Christ would. The Holy Spirit takes up residency, life inside of you. And in that instant, you're given spiritual gifts. So here's this kid saying, yeah, I think I have the gift of mercy. How will God use that gift in this kid's life? That's why everybody was looking at him. Because up until that time, we were on a normal plane. But you know what happened in Next Step at that moment? We entered into the matrix. It became spiritual. Do you get it? I could see in next step the light bulb going on over people's heads as they started to realize, oh, I have a gift like that. It's not the same gift, maybe, but it's not most likely not the same gift. See, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God at work in us. That's how you find your God-given destiny. That's how you find how he's going to use your purpose. That's spiritual gifts. Pretty cool, isn't it? And again, next step is how you find that out. You should go. Be a great, great thing for some of you. A lot of you mature Christians, and you don't know your next step, or you don't know your spiritual gifts. I know because I've asked you. And you kind of look, some of you look at me kind of like, you know, you've never really thought about it. You've never really been taught about it. Some of us who are brand new or newer to God, newer to church, all those kinds of things, this is how you step into. This is life-changing information. So that's the S in shape. The H stands for heart. This is your passions. God wants you to figure out what makes your heart beat so fast that you have to take action. What are your passions? Now, sometimes our passions are things that we see in the world that we don't like. And in your heart you go, I am going to change that. That is no good. I'm changing that. One of my passions is I love students. I love working with especially young guys. I help coach this little football team, this little middle school football team, but I love to see God work in their lives. And I try to help them take next steps. That's another passion of mine. I love that kind of progression. Don't you think God could use your passion? Imagine living your life, listen, in your passion areas. Like you, places where your heart beats fast and you're fired up about, you know, this activity or this thing that you're doing. It's not just hitting the alarm anymore. It's hitting the alarm and getting after something that you love. Don't you think that God would want to use that in you? Marble Manor is another thing that you'll learn about in Next Step. Marble Manor is this little apartment complex on the rough side of town that Verve has adopted. It's a square area. There's about 100, probably more, little kids at this youth center that Verve has adopted. They gave us two apartment buildings, and we sort of made it into a little youth center, a little after-school program. And so people from Verve volunteered. A lot of you, I've seen a bunch of you there on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. Our small group goes there every semester. We do the events and those kinds of things also. When you go, there's these little guys, and their lives are hard. You know, there's a lot of poverty at Marble Manor. There's a lot of violence, a lot of gang violence. There's a lot of drug addiction. There's just a lot of bad stuff. Well, these little dudes, they don't know. So they come skipping in, and usually there's like 30 of them, and a bunch of volunteers like us help them do their homework, or read to them, or we do these little art projects. Well, the woman that runs that place, her name is Kayla, and Kayla knows all of them. So there's like 30 that show up on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. There's like 100 that are involved. Kayla knows their names. Kayla knows their mom. If they have a dad around, most of the time it's a single parent, she knows what subjects in school they have trouble with. She knows what parts of manners she wants to teach them. It's unreal. She's had me shake this one little dude's hand every time I've been there. And she tells this little guy, I can't even remember his name, but she remembers his name. Hey, remember, look him in the eye when you shake his hand. Now, this isn't Kayla's job. You know what Kayla does for a living? She works in a funeral home. This is Kayla's passion. We volunteer once a month kind of stuff. She's there 2, 3, 4 times a week. And if you pulled her aside and said, tell me about this, she would say, this is my destiny. This is, I love. I could not be here. Get it? That's heart. Are you involved with anything like that? Where it's like, I could not do this. You gotta find that, man, because that's gonna lead you to your destiny. The A in shape stands for your abilities, right? Your talents. These are things, as I alluded to earlier, these are things that maybe you've developed in your life. You were born with a natural bend towards certain things. I mentioned photography. Maybe some of you who, you know, you're a great cook. Some of you love to do projects. You're great with your hands. You're a builder. Those kinds of talents and abilities, God wants to leverage, and God wants to use those. Those are a part of your destiny. Rocket's one of those kind of guys. He uses his... Most of the time, if I call Rocket and say, hey, help me with this building project, he'll say yes. Sometimes he says no, but most of the time he says yes. It's just a part of who he is. He wants to use his talents and abilities in that way. The P in shape stands for your personality. This is a key one. Your personality, unique to you, has been given to you by God, and it's through your personality, it's through the filter of your personality that you make decisions. It's through the filter of your personality that you look at certain circumstances or certain parts of your life or even certain relationships, and you operate out of your personality. God wants to use that. God wants to use who you are. Sometimes people shrink back and they think, well, I'm not like super loud or I'm not like super out there. I don't light it up with personality. So maybe God, you know, I'm a little more behind the scenes. Maybe God wouldn't want to use me in those, in any kind of, you know, big ways. Oh, you're wrong. God uses all kinds of ways in personality, in terms of personality. So you just got to be you. And you've got to understand that understanding your personality is what's going to help you understand what it's going to take to get to your destiny. So we talk about this in Next Step also. Like, your personality, how you're wired up, is huge. So that's the P in shape. And the E in shape stands for your experiences. Doesn't it make sense that the God who made you would want to use all of you, all of the stuff that's gone on in your life? He'd want to use that to make a difference in the world. The great stuff and even the painful stuff. Think back with your childhood, some of the joys and the sorrows of your childhood. All of that's unique to you. But because you had the childhood that you had, you could talk to certain people or even certain kids in a different way than I could, because we had a different childhood. Think about your growing up years, you know, middle school or high school. Some of you who are in high school, you know everything. Do you guys remember when we were in high school and we knew everything? Well, the experiences that you have in middle school and high school, those things shape you in a lot of ways. So being in touch with those experiences, think about as an adult, the accomplishments, the significant things that have gone on in your relationships, some of them broken, some of the stuff that's happened in your vocation. All these ways God wants to use. Imagine if you were walking down a hallway, you know, and you're in this huge corridor, and on each side, the wall is huge. It goes way up. The ceiling is way high on both sides. And there are portraits. It's like you're in the Louvre or somewhere. And there are these big, different size portraits. On this side are all these amazing experiences that you've had. Times of accomplishment. Times of excitement. You know? Some guy Facebooked me a couple of days ago, and we jumped off a cliff together when we were 17. My mom never knew about that. Anyway, like, there's these great pictures of exhilaration. There'd be a picture of you walking across the stage when you got your diploma. You know, these are the pictures of your life that are just like, oh man, lifeblood. And then on this side, all along, there's the same amount of portraits, tons of them, big ones. But this side symbolizes sometimes when you were frustrated. Sometimes portraits where you had stress or you had breaks. You know, times where there were stress cracks in your life and you were just kind of leaking, you know, and stuff wasn't going great in your world. These, all of these, it just makes sense with who God is, that he would want to use your experiences, my experiences, that have shaped our lives to make a difference in the world. We've used this verse a lot in this series. It's Romans 8:28. Look at it. Just makes sense. It says, we know that God causes everything, both sides of the wall, both sides of the corridor, everything to work together for the good of all of us that love God. For the good of those of us that love God and are called according to his purpose. So your experiences are huge. Last week, it was Monday night, and there's a dude that walks around here who serves. His name's Aaron. And I've known him for, I met him about a year ago for the first time, but I never really knew his story until recently. Do you know, if someone comes to Verve, and if one of the staff finds out that this person has like a gambling problem, and the person comes up and says, I could use some help. Is there somebody I could talk to about this addiction, this gambling deal? The whole staff will point that person towards Aaron. I never knew this. I said, why? And the answer that came back was, well, he's been through it. So I grabbed Aaron last Monday and I said, tell me about this. He said, before I could wipe the sleep from my eyes, when I would wake up in the morning, I would lean over and I would grab off my nightstand my phone and I would find the app, real quickly, the gambling app, and that's how I started my day. He said, you add some alcoholism into the picture and I was a mess. And he just started to tell me, that's how I lived my life for this whole season. And then he said, somebody told me about Verve. I think he might have seen the billboard. He shows up at Verve. He comes to know who God is, and he realizes in an instant, I got to change. My life is insane. I need some help. And so God gets him on this track, gets him in the right kind of help, and his eyes start to open to what his destiny is. His girlfriend, who's now his wife and the mother of their child, they have this little girl who's beautiful. He said, that's my destiny. I mean, I got to serve them. I got to love them. He's since got married over these last few months. He's trying to raise his daughter to honor God. And I said, tell me about the thing with the, if somebody gambles, we bring them to you. He said, yeah. He said, this is what he said. He said, you don't have to learn from your own mistakes. You can learn from mine. And if somebody is gambling, even the alcoholism stuff, I don't have all the answers, but I can kind of walk them through. Doesn't that make sense? I couldn't. I've never had that kind of whole stuff hold me down. I've had other stuff. But he said, if it's gambling, send them to me. I would love to help them. I would love to try to help them and talk them through. Those are the experiences. And God uses those in our lives. It's an amazing thing. So that's shape. That's how you leverage who you are to make a difference. It's simple. It's an easy acrostic. I hope, maybe you can remember it or you can write it down. But if you don't have a death grip on those things, especially your spiritual gifts, man, you got to do some work. Again, no hype. It's up to you. It's your call. But if you don't do the work, you're never going to really fully understand how God wired you up. And how is he going to give you your destiny? How is he going to show you your purpose? If you've never really walked into figuring out how he's made you. I found this stick like 29, 28 years ago. And I was running down this path at our camp. And it was early in the morning, and I saw this guy laying on a brush pile towards the end of the path was this river. And I saw it one day, and then I saw it the next day. It was like 2 or 3 days later, and I thought, I want that. So I grabbed it, and I started to carve out like a little place where my hand would go. I think I wanted like a shepherd's staff. This was right about the time that I was saying yes to being in ministry full time as my vocation. I was scared about it. I didn't really know if it was the right thing to do, but I was just kind of trusting God. He was pulling me in. So I carved this thing at camp. I brought it home with me on the bus. It was kind of awkward, And I put it in the corner of my office, and there it would sit. There'd be times during the weeks and the months, the first few years, actually for a lot of years, where I would pray in that little office area, and I'd have an open journal. I'd be talking to God about what's going on in my life, and I'd have my Bible out and so, and there would be times where I would be prompted to go to the corner of my office and grab this little stick, and I'd go sit at my desk, and I'd just sort of put it in my lap, and this came to symbolize my mission. Like my destiny, what I was about, you know, my passion. It came to symbolize the kind of stuff that I did in ministry work. It also came to symbolize my family, my wife and my kids, and how I was leading them. So I would say to you humbly, I would say this to you, you need a stick. Now, don't run up to Mount Charleston this afternoon. I don't literally mean you need a stick, but you need a mission. You need a purpose. What guides your life? For so many of us, we wake up in the morning and we're bored. We just, you know, clock in at work, clock out, go home, watch the same shows. You know, for some of us, we're excited about our faith, or we used to be excited about our faith, but we're not really living out our destiny. We're not really achieving our destiny. Here's what I would say to you. That's you. Number one, you should go to next step. You really should. Again, no hype. It's your call. But at 11:30, just about every Sunday, we've got a little hiatus in the month of July, but the first Sunday in August, be in that room. Put it in your calendar. Go to next step. You got to find out this stuff. And then the second step I would tell you to take is maybe have a conversation. For some of you who have been in this series and you've been, you know, hearing about bitterness and dysfunction and temptation and the trials of success and accomplishment, all these things that David has taught us, but maybe you're having trouble moving forward. You know, grab David, grab Vince, grab me, grab one of us and just say, hey, could you help me if you're having trouble moving forward? Have a conversation and see if maybe we could attack some of this stuff together. Because no hype, you gotta move. Stop staying where you're at. Stop, you know. Now, for some of us, we know our purpose. We are in our destiny. It's not perfect, but we're in it. Here's what I would say to you. Thank God. You're living the life. You're in a spot that, oh, man, you should just be so, so, so thankful for. At the end of the services, we say, Viva la Verve. Some of you have been here. You know this. Viva la Verve. And what we're saying is, hey, we want to live the life. We want to apply what we've learned today. We're going to say it today at the end of the service. Well, you right now in your life, man, way to go. You're stepping into your destiny.